Why were the Greeks sending out colonists to so many different parts of the Mediterranean? Well, most of the colonies that we end up with are very close to the sea. The Greeks rarely penetrate inland at all. And invariably, their colonies are located close to a good, rich supply of soil and to large stretches of fertile land that are well watered. And I think this, though it may seem very obvious, helps to explain what Greek colonization is primarily about. It is the desire to get rich land. Now, if you've been to Greece and travelled around Greece, you'll understand why it should be that this is a constant in Greek history. In Greece, you'll be told that as God created the world, he walked around with a sack on his back and he distributed rich, fertile fields, well-wooded mountainsides, lovely rivers all over the world to the different countries of the earth. And when he got to Greece, he looked in his bag and all he had left was rocks. And as a result, all that Greeks can farm is rocks. Now, that's a slight exaggeration. There are, in fact, some quite fertile stretches of land in Greece. However, it is true to say that the good land in Greece tends to be contained in small pockets. And it is probably the case that throughout their history, many Greeks in these areas reached a population level that got to the absolute amount that the land could sustain, and that then there was pressure on people to leave. Now, there are other factors that play into this as well. For example, if you have a system where eldest sons inherit the land because there is only so much land that can be divided, then there are going to be younger sons left over who have to be taken care of. And so, in a way, just as younger sons of the British Empire might join the church or the Indian army and serve the Raj, here in the Greek world, younger sons will often take part in colonial expeditions and join a new colony. Why have no land back in Greece when your older brother has 5 acres, when you can take off to southern Italy and there have 30 acres of prime farming land? So there are certain factors here that I think are quite constant and are carried over from generation to generation. We have one document that gives us something, I think, of an insight into the way the Greeks felt about this issue of land, the use of land, during their colonial experience. And it's in the Odyssey, in an episode that you may find surprising. You know, of course, that in the Odyssey, at one point when Odysseus is relating his adventures, he talks about visiting the land of the Cyclops. The episode is a well-remembered one because the Cyclops is this extraordinary creature with one eye in the centre of its forehead. But Odysseus, you'll recall, outsmarts him. He gouges out the eye while he's drunk. Odysseus then hides underneath a ram, and he manages to escape under the belly of the ram. And all the time he's been telling Cyclops that his name is Nobody, so that when everyone says to the Cyclops, "Who's hurting you?" he replies, "Nobody's hurting me." And as a result, Odysseus is able to escape. But there's a whole other element in that story that is often passed over that I call to your attention. Odysseus gives us a long description of what it was like to sail first in to the Cyclops' land. And what he says is that we came to the land of the Cyclops who were lawless. They were lawless and they had no community, no agora, no meeting. And he says instead each one of them separately lived up on the heights in his own cave, and each one separately gave his own law to his wife and children. This is an image of a barbaric people who have no sense of community. And Odysseus says, when he came to their land, he was appalled by the fact that just offshore from the land of the Cyclops, there was the most glorious island that had well-watered meadows and had rich subsoil beneath, and it was crying out to be colonized and to be used. But says Odysseus, only wild goats had it. There were no hunters there, no hunters' tracks across the hills at all. It was land that was, in his eyes, virgin territory, and it was unused. And it is clear in the poem that Odysseus, and I think Homer too, is appalled at the prospect of there being this good, rich land that is going to waste. He says, The Cyclops have no clever craftsmen who will fashion for them ships with red prows, the sorts of ships by which they can cross the water, as we would crossing the seas to go from the cities of men to the cities of men.